These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
Coming up in this episode, if my airplane pilot came on and said today, I'm flying by feel.
Because it was the first time they had realized that American women were not only flying airplanes, but crashing them into sleepy little villages.
Europe, were they in the field of danger?
They were definitely in the field of danger.
This podcast from Georgia Public Broadcasting highlights books with Georgia connections. Hosted by two of your favorite public radio book nerds who also happen to be your hosts, of All Things Considered on GPB. I'm Orlando Montoy.
And I'm Peter Biello. Thanks for joining us as we introduce you to authors, their writings, and the insights behind their stories, mixed with our own thoughts and ideas on just what gives these works the narrative edge. Orlando, we're going back in time and up into the clouds for this next one.
All right, tell me about your book.
So this book is called Spitfires, The American Women Who Flew in the Face of Danger During World War II, and it's written by Becky Aikman.
And is Becky from Georgia?
Becky is not from Georgia. She lives in New York. But since this is a podcast about books with Georgia connections, let's just get right to it. The Georgia connection here is one of the women featured in this book, Hazel Jane Raines, who is from Macon. She was one of the pilots, one of the several pilots discussed in this book. And she and these other women have amazing stories to tell in Spitfires.
So it's got a Georgia connection to World War II female pilots. Now, World War II, I'm not thinking female pilots. I don't think I've ever even heard of that.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't super common. And this is not in the United States either. They're American women, but they were flying for the Royal Air Force as part of the Air Transport Auxiliary. So they were not bomber pilots. They were not firing on the enemy. They were in charge of transporting planes from point A to point B, planes that may have been damaged in some way, for example. So they had to move to a different repair shop on the other side of the country, that kind of thing. That's not to say it was without risk. It's scary to be in the air with kind of some of these planes, some rickety airplanes. And, you know, just because they weren't in the field of battle doesn't mean Germans weren't trying to shoot them down. But yeah, dangerous work.
And what were the women called?
They were called the Atta Girls, ATA, Air Transport Auxiliary. So Atta Girls. I'll be referring to them as Atta Girls from here on forward.
Well, it's like Atta Girl.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I've never heard of this before. And I'm just amazed that no one's written about it before, because we've had a number of movies, books, all written about sort of overlooked characters in World War II.
Yeah, this is something that Becky Aikman had no idea about either. She was looking for something to write about. So I should say that Becky Aikman and I spoke on stage at the Atlanta History Center about this book in front of a live audience. So we'll play some clips from that conversation in this conversation. And what she told me on stage was that she was looking for an idea to write about, and she talked to her mother, and her mother sort of gave her this idea.
I said to her that I was looking for a subject for a book about people who had done something extraordinary, but the world didn't necessarily know about them. And she said immediately, write about the American women who flew in England during World War II. I said, okay, I never heard of that. And I looked around a little bit to try to find out about it, and I couldn't find anything at first. And I thought maybe she had been confused with something else. I said that to her, which didn't go over well. And she said no. She had seen a newsreel or a magazine article or something. She said, I thought they were so noble and glamorous. I wished I could do what they did. It had made such a strong impression on her.
So how big was this group of women?
It was not big, a fraction of the size of the ATA as a whole. 25 American women total, and I think less than a couple hundred overall in the ATA.
But still a remarkable story. How did they get together?
Well, they all came together just by dint of their reputation. There wasn't necessarily like an application phase. They were brought together by a woman named Jackie Cochran, who sent them a telegram out of the blue.
She was a huge celebrity back then who had won air races and set records for speed and altitude. She was also a self-made millionaire who had started her own cosmetics company. She was a major character in herself, but she wanted to start a unit like this in the United States and couldn't convince American officials, but she knew that England would take pilots like these, and she decided she would form a group, take it to Great Britain, and prove that women could do it so that then she could come back and make her point in the United States.
And so Jackie Cochran had sort of scanned the landscape to see what women had the flight experience and the talent to do this, and she sent telegrams specifically to women who had enough flight experience, whether as a stunt pilot or what have you, to possibly be a part of this winning American team.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine that the pool that you're pulling from is not that great anyway. It's not that big. So they went out and they moved all these planes around. I mean, how did they do?
They did well. I mean, one of the biggest challenges they faced was just the sheer variety of planes that they had to fly. Like, this book is named Spitfires, right? That's kind of a double entendre. That's the name of a plane that they were able to fly. But there were so many different planes. I mean, when they were flying in the U.S., maybe as a stunt pilot or a crop duster or what have you, like, not too many different planes available for them to fly. But when you get overseas, dozens of different kinds and new kinds coming out over the course of the war. And so what these women would have to be able to do is know enough about flying so that they could be given just a pamphlet right before they step into a plane they've never stepped into before and sort of look over the pamphlet and be like, okay, I can fly this thing, and then fly it to wherever they had to fly it, whether it's damaged or in perfect condition or what have you. So kind of amazing, really.
And wherever they had to fly it was England mostly, Europe? Were they in the field of danger?
They were definitely in the field of danger. They were flying over, in some cases, destroyed countrysides. They were flying in bad weather. They didn't have the kind of instruments that could help them see in the fog. They kind of just had to play it real safe and fly almost by feel, which a lot of these women did to great effect. So yeah, it was a pretty dangerous situation out there.
If my airplane pilot came on and said today, I'm flying by feel, I would not like that at all.
Yeah, but you don't have to do that now, that's for sure.
Well, you mentioned at the top a Georgia woman, Hazel Jane Rains. Tell me a little bit about her.
All right. Well, Becky Aikman says it best. Let's hear from her.
And she came from what she called a hat and gloves church-going family. She studied music in college, and then she got the flying bug and shocked her family. She became the first licensed woman pilot in Georgia, and then the first licensed woman commercial pilot in Georgia. And then, gasp, she joined what was called the Georgia Air Races and Show as a performer. She would go up high in the sky and do loop-de-loops and spins and other dramatic aerial maneuvers that would make the audience scream in terror. Her family was appalled, but she loved doing it. Hazel had very weak health and described herself as awkward on the ground but graceful in the air. So she loved that feeling of euphoria when she could be in the sky and do whatever she wanted.
So that level of personal detail for Hazel Jane Rains, I should add, is kind of typical in this book. There are about a dozen women that she describes in that level of detail, and then a dozen more or so that are mentioned in lesser detail, but still pretty well described. And for Hazel, one of her like signature moves, I guess you could say, is that she's really able to get out of tricky situations. And the book opens with a Hazel Jane Rains anecdote. And it goes like this. She got into some trouble in the air. The plane started to go into a tailspin. And just at the last minute, as she got out of the fog and got really close to the ground, she managed to get the plane level, but she was so close to the ground that she could not avoid hitting a house in the countryside. And fortunately for her, it was a thatched roof house that no one was in at the time, and the softness of the roof kind of slowed them down.
The people in the village, and I did speak to people who remembered this, little children who were sitting on a nearby house, and suddenly the house next to them exploded with this aircraft, and people from the town ran to pull out the dead man, they assumed. They got the cockpit canopy open, and up popped the pilot with blood streaming down the pilot's face. And the pilot said what was protocol in these situations, which was, London, guard that plane. I don't know why. Everyone drew back in shock. The pilot was alive, and the pilot was also a woman, an American woman with a Georgia accent. It caused great shock that everyone in the town remembered for decades to come, because it was the first time they had realized that American women were not only flying airplanes, but crashing them into sleepy little villages. But it was a good example of the dangers that these pilots faced in this job.
Yeah, Aikman told me that 1 in 7 women who did this job died on the job, died in crashes.
Well, I like these characters already. I mean, we're talking about characters who have grit. They've clearly risen above their upbringing and their surrounding and what people expected them to do. So I can't even imagine that this book is going to be great. You talked about one woman before, and then you talked about the Georgia woman. Mm-hmm. Talk about some others.
Yeah, well, there were a few who were just quite larger-than-life characters, in a way. And one of them was named Winnie Pierce. And I bring her up only because her diary is just full of the juiciest stuff. It was quoted quite a bit. Becky Aikman quotes from diaries and letters, but Winnie's actually were the most fun to read, I feel. And Winnie herself was sort of a hard-partying woman who was hurt not by flying, but by getting drunk and getting into a motorcycle accident while on leave. So you can imagine, right? Because these women are mostly in their 20s, right? And what do you do in your 20s, right? You go out and you party when you're not working.
And they're around men, right? They've got to be around men and act like one of the boys.
Yeah, to some extent, yeah. There was some romance between some of these women and kind of maybe ill-advised, maybe not, but some of the bombers, right? The guys doing the most dangerous work. There was a story in here of a couple that, you know, were broken up because he died. He got shot down. And that's not necessarily uncommon in the war with such a dangerous job. So there's, on the one hand, all those thrills, right? You can go out and fly, and then you can go out on the weekends and drink with your friends. You can go out dancing, and of course you're going to get a lot of attention. But on the other hand, you could also die. I mean, to some extent that may amplify the sensation of, you know, living on the edge, so to speak, but it was a memorable experience for all these women for sure. And, you know, there was one atta girl, that Becky Aikman was able to talk to. She was 105 years old at the time of Aikman's conversation with her. And her name was Nancy Miller.
And she still remembers the war very clearly. When I last spoke to her, she had such a great time because no one else remembers it. And she kept saying, "You know me better than I do." But the one question I wanted to ask her most was she ever afraid? Because Nancy was really serious about wanting an aviation career, and she transferred to the worst places in order to fly different kinds of aircraft and prove herself, and worked so hard at it, and therefore got into a lot of really dicey situations that she still remembers quite clearly. And I said, "Weren't you ever afraid?" And she said, "No, I had a job to do." So that was one reason she was successful and one reason she's lived so long, not easily rattled.
Also should mention that Aikman says Nancy Miller was one of the clean living ladies on. She didn't drink.
Well, I'm glad you played that clip mentioning the still living, because a lot of these people, they need recognition. If they're not
right.
already passed away, they're very elderly. And, you know, we do stories here in the newsroom all the time about soldiers who are getting recognition either posthumously or very late in life. So I'm glad this is happening. What about what happened after their military or their military-adjacent careers?
Well, they wanted to continue after the war in some form, but the Air Force, alas, would not let them continue to fly. There was an American sort of, for lack of a better word, sister group of women who could fly, the WASPs, but the sexism inherent in that was so bad, to the extent that, you know, one woman died when someone put sugar in her gas tank. So the opportunities were not equal. After the war, they couldn't fly.
Not even commercial aviation?
When commercial aviation kind of did not allow that. So one woman started her own company, for example, flying, doing the same kind of work, transporting planes. But these planes were like, not sure, you know, dicey is the word that Becky Aikman used to describe it. Flying these planes that needed repairs from one location to the next. Some went back to stunt piloting. Some had careers in the Air Force, just not flying. It's too bad that they weren't able to continue, to be honest.
I'm sorry. Sounds like a sad ending, but...
Well, they made careers to the extent that they could, right? They tried the passion, tried to follow their passion, but no, it's a real shame that they weren't able to continue in the way they wanted to.
Well, let's talk about sort of the writerly aspects of the book, sort of, you know, the language,
that's why we're here, right?
The language, biographies, especially if there's a number of people involved, it could go by very quickly and you lose a lot of detail. So, or you lose maybe character and emotion, but this has got to have character and emotion.
It does. And yeah, you're right. Like, one of the risks that a book like this runs is that you have so many characters, you get them confused, right? Like, wait, which one was that? I don't remember. But she's able to sort of introduce them in a way where you can kind of distinguish them pretty easily. Like, there's the woman, for example, who started from nothing and rose to something. And there's the woman who was not interested in men, the way her family wanted her to be. And so she was able to join the Atta Girls and sort of reinvent herself overseas. Hazel Jane Rains, of course, Jackie Cochran, who's sort of the ringleader of these things, Winnie Pierce, who has the most cutting lines in her diary. Those people are pretty well defined, and you can kind of see how, you know, they have personalities in the air and personalities on the ground and how they interact with each other. The drama, the interpersonal interaction drama, I think was very interesting.
So they were competing against each other?
No, I wouldn't say like what do you mean? Like for rank in the,
you know,
in the
ambition, course? Ambition, you know, trying to, I don't know, I've done the most, or, you know, I've flown.
I wouldn't say that. No, but they did all want to have, like, for example, like a clean record to the extent that they could, because when you get into an accident or something happens, there's a report done at the end where you could be assigned blame, right? So whenever there's an accident, they were hoping to do the best they could so that, you know, if they failed, it's because of a mechanical error, not because of something they did as a pilot. So something like that. But
and what gives the book the narrative edge?
Well, I think it's just an amazing story that balances the drama of flying. And of course, someone brought this up at the event at the Atlanta History Center too, because there was a Q&A session. Audience members got to ask a question. I totally agree with whoever asked this question about it possibly being a movie, because you have the dramatic flight scenes, right? Where, oh my God, they're about to crash. Oh, how did they get out of this one? You know, I mean, imagine the Hazel Jane Rains scene that I described earlier about her crashing through the thatched roof. Amazing cinema, if it were ever to be cinema.
Well, and then there was League of Their Own that...
Yes, I was thinking about that book too. You know, for those of you who have possibly never seen that movie, right? It's women taking over for the men who are fighting overseas playing baseball. Worth mentioning too that was also a book before it was a movie, called When Women Played Hardball. So it's possible for this book to go from the page to the silver screen, but, you know, the cost of these airplanes might be cost prohibitive. But yeah, I mean, it would make a great movie, in part because she does a great job of balancing the sort of the drama of flight and then interpersonal drama, what they're going through on the ground, how they relate to one another, how they relate to the men they meet, how they cope with the stress and the fact that they lose friends to crashes. It's I mentioned it before, but it's living on the edge, and it's a strange time, in some ways a beautiful time of their lives, and certainly well documented here, and highly recommend this book.
I'm glad to learn about it. The book is called Spitfires: The American Women Who Flew in the Face of Danger During World War II by Becky Aikman. And Peter, thanks for telling me about it.
Happy to tell you about it.